The scripture reading this morning will be coming from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. 2 Timothy 2, verses 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
It's good to see everyone here this morning. Hope, pray, and trust that all is well as we are striving to do God's will. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to preach God's word and to be with good brethren. All month we have been talking about being grateful for the environment we have here at 9th and Main. Well, next week, Brother Evan will be preaching from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and following, and how we are supposed to be God's people determined to have good works. And so on this morning, if you're visiting with us, thank you for being here with us, not a member of the Lord's church. Hope, pray, and trust that you'll give us an opportunity to meet and greet you, perhaps even consider sitting down and studying God's word with you. If you notice to the right of me, you'll see a QR code where you'll see the notes. If you are a member here and you don't have accessibility to the QR code, let us know and we'll get you the notes on paper. You know, when people start off sermons, ministers start off sermons, they sometimes like to use the idea, can you imagine? Well, this morning, we don't have to imagine. We don't have to imagine God looking down and seeing people being faithful. We don't have to go to some outside source in order to find some great story to find a people who are doing that which is right. As a matter of fact, the more that I was considering God's word and thinking about the environment that we have here, what a blessing. What a blessing that we have in this particular congregation. If you're not a member of the Lord's church and have a desire to want to know more, let us talk to you. And the reason why is because the gospel of Jesus Christ will not only be preached, but lived here to the best of our ability. But again, we don't have to imagine a group of people who are striving to do that which is right. In Romans chapter 1, just put these in your notes, not really going to go to it there. But in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 8, Paul is talking to the church in Rome there, and he talks about their faith that was known throughout the world, which demonstrates that the people of God were actually living right in Rome, and it was being known throughout. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse number 2, you find the same language there as God's people who were faithful and other people knew about it. But can you imagine? You don't have to. In Revelation chapter 4, we understand verses 7 through verse number 13, we have the church at Philadelphia. And when you read about that congregation and God, Jesus Christ, understanding and knowing the hearts of all people, Revelation 2 and verse number 23, he found no fault with the church at Philadelphia. Not one. Wow. So don't tell me, as the people of God, we can't strive to the point where we're so working together, so unified, striving to do that which is right, that God looks down like in Malachi 3, verses 14 through verse number 16 and say, these people are working together, faults and all. Friends, it can happen. It does happen. Well, the more I thought about the lesson on this morning, I thought about 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19. God knows those who are his. He is. Can you know that you're his? As the people of God here, God knows those who are his. And when you look at that verse and you look at it closely and you analyze it, how does God know that we're his? We depart from sin. We depart from iniquity. As a matter of fact, we see sin. We understand that every man is tempted by their own lust and enticed. James 1, verses 12 and following. But then we take the way of escape. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 10 through 13. What does that mean? That means that we are a people who are striving to develop and cultivate an environment that God can be in the midst of. One thing we know, Sister Evelyn, that God cannot be in the midst of sin. Achan, we'll talk about him later, took of the accursed thing and God says you can't move forward until you get sin out the camp. Sin has to go. Why? Because sin is transgression against God's law. 1 John 3, verse 4. All unrighteousness is sin. 1 John 5, verse number 17 through 19. He that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. James 4, 17. God says, I can't be around that. Which demonstrates to us that we have the responsibility as the people of God to cultivate an environment that God himself can say, I want to be in the midst of that. I want to be part of that. And as a matter of fact, we have the mentality that says we want to be part of him. But how does this happen? This happens when I submit myself to the authority of Jesus Christ, Brother Brian. It's no way for me to honor the Father as a group and even as an individual if we don't submit ourselves to the one in whom God sent. John 10, 18. God sent Jesus Christ, gave him all authority, put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1, 21 through 23. When we submit to that authority, we then submit to the Father. When we submit to the Father, then God says, I can be in the midst of these people. But what will it require? Point number one, it will require us having an environment of priority. Now, I just want you to look around in your mind. Don't be going like this. But just ask yourself who's not here. And then you need to contact them. And you ought to send them a text or call them and say, what's keeping you from being part of this wonderful environment we're part of? What's so important that on the first day of the week that you can't be part of this great environment? What's so important? Sleep? Family problems? Illnesses? What's so important? Often when I talk to people, and especially members of the Lord's church, I ask them this question. Do you remember what Jesus did from Golgotha to Calvary after he got beaten? He walked. He carried his crossbar. And he carried it as far as he could carry it until Simon the Cyrene was commissioned and made to carry it the rest of the way. Make no mistake about it. That man had it upon him, and he's walking up to Calvary. For what? To die for the sins of himself? No, sir, no, ma'am. To die for the sins of the world. And I tell people all the time, if Jesus can do that, I believe we can come in here when it's nice and cold outside and be warm, or it's nice and hot outside and be cool and sit on padded pews for an hour and give God his time. What an environment, Brother Royce. That's the mentality that God wants us to have. And so, number one, we want to make sure that we're continuing to promote an environment of priority, making spiritual things first. Look at your notes. It's interesting. We're not going to go through all of these. This is why I gave you the notes today, because I'm not going to preach all of this. I'm going to put some of this upon your feet. You go ahead and you do the rest of your homework. But if you take notice, I brought out Luke chapter 9, verse 23 for the last couple of weeks. But why? Repetition is good. It is good for us to understand what Jesus said. And he said the same thing from Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24, talking to Peter, of course. And he told him to get thee behind me. But he says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, Luke 9, 23, daily, follow me. That's the priority. And it makes sense to me more and more as I grow and learn in Christ why God told Adam and Eve, don't you eat of that fruit. If you would do just that, you can stay in my fellowship. But if you won't do that, then you can't. That makes sense. As it relates to the first day of the week worship. If you won't come to worship on the first day of the week, God says it's other things you won't do either. It's easy to do that. Why? Because every first day or every week has a first day. And it's like when our kids were smaller. We used to tell them and command them to do some of the easiest things. And when they didn't do that, we got on them. Well, if I can't trust you with the easy things, why would I trust you with the hard things? If I can't trust you with this small thing, why would I trust you with the greater things? Well, Jesus said, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. He that is unfaithful in little is faithful in much. Well, what does this have to do with the environment? If all of us are striving to make spiritual things first, when those who are on the outside come in, they're going to see that. And over a period of time, they want to be part of it. They're going to ask, what can I do to be part of this? Making first things first. Making spiritual things first. Putting first things first. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 22. I wanted to at least look at this one. In Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, we come across the greatest commandment. Well, what is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Mark's account says strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang the law and the prophets. I believe that's verse 40. Nevertheless, when we stop and we consider this and we talk about putting first things first, what should be first in our lives? What is first in our lives here at 9th and Main? God is first. His word is first. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth is first. Making sure that God is glorified and respected. No one is being disrespectful in the worship of God. Putting God first, but also our neighbor. Loving them in what way? Living the right life in front of them. What other way? Teaching and preaching the gospel. What other way? By being benevolent unto them. Romans 2 and verse number 4. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. Friends, this is what we're cultivating. And we need to continue to cultivate it. But if you notice, verse number 37, 38 rather, love your neighbor, God is so good, as yourself. God never leaves us out. And this is why when we think about New Testament worship, yes, God is glorified. He's honored. But we're built up. We're encouraged. We receive admonishment. We receive exhortation. Even in the worship, this is the environment we're cultivating. We need to continue to cultivate it. So when we're going out, we're talking to people about the gospel of Jesus Christ and having them to look at how we are living. Friends, when they see this, they will want to be part of it. Priority. Making first things first, putting first things first, seeking first the kingdom, remembering first things first. Why do we worry? Friends, I believe that this is a great gospel lesson right here. And Jesus puts it on the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34, we're not going to look at all that. Go back and read it on your own time. But Jesus says these words. I take care of the lilies of the field. I take care of the fowl of the air. You know what that teaches us about God? That teaches us that he is a moral being. He is a creator that takes care of his creation. He doesn't only take care of us, his conscience creation, but he even takes care of that which doesn't have conscience, which doesn't have the ability to understand right and wrong. He takes care of them too. But he definitely takes care of us. And he says, if I take care of them, surely I'll take care of you. So here's the question. When people come and they want to be part of this environment, shouldn't we display that? Friends, I know we're concerned about many things at times. Sometimes people are so concerned about their health that they're not concerned about their spiritual health. But friends, we need to be concerned about our spiritual health. Why? The spiritual always overrules the physical. How do I know that? Because the spiritual was created first, then the physical. Keep first things first. Remember, first things first, which is our last point under this. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. Go back and read the rest of those in the notes. You stop and you consider, again, why was the church created? It was created for good works, which means that this is what we need to continue to be about. What does that look like? What does it look like to be a people who are involved in good works? Well, number one, I want to make sure that I'm thinking properly, that I'm thinking logically, that I'm thinking spiritually. I cannot be involved in good works if me, myself, my mind is not on spiritual things. And no wonder the Apostle Paul would say something concerning putting your mind on things that are above. This should be that type of environment. And if at any time a congregation is not seeking spiritual things according to the Spirit's teaching, Romans 8 verse 1 and 2, according to that which sanctifies, John 17, 17, then it's not spiritual thinking. Spiritual thinking comes from the Word of God. Spiritual thinking doesn't come from religious thinking. Religious thinking should come from spiritual thinking. Because you can do things religiously and not be spiritual. That's good teaching right there. Y'all smile. That's good teaching right there. You know why that's good teaching? Because some people believe just because I do something religiously, I must be spiritual. But that's not the case, Brian. That's right. I wish you had time to come up here and preach that, but I won't let you. Here's the point, brethren. When I am spiritually minded, I want to make sure that I am thinking on those things which the Word of God substantiates. Which means that when I go to the Word of God, it is what I desire to be and to do. And so, what was the church created for? It was created for good works. Go to Acts chapter 8. Look at verses 1 through 5. In Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, notice what these spiritual people were doing, even in the midst of persecution. Even in the midst of persecution, we have Saul, he's consenting to the death of Stephen. And the Bible says, at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As Saul, as he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging all men and women, committing them to prison. Watch this. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. Notice, friends, if we remember first things first, regardless of the outside circumstances, I need to keep my mind on spiritual things. I find it amazing that even in the midst of hardship and problems, people find enough gumption to still go to work. You know why, Brother Eric? It's because I got to pay my bills. Nobody's going to pay my bills. But when they go through difficulty, for some reason, they can't make it to church. They can't make it to worship. Why? Friends, here, these people were scattered. The brethren were scattered. And what did they do? They went and they hid in a corner. No, they went and they preached the word. They went everywhere, the Bible says, preaching the word. Now drop down to verse number 12. In verse number 12, you find Philip, and guess what he's doing? He's preaching. But what is he preaching? He's preaching Jesus Christ, or the name of Jesus Christ, and the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And men and women were being baptized, which tells me that even in the midst of problems, I need to remember first things first, and I need to continue to do what God says and allow God to get the increase or give the increase. I truly see that when the church was going into persecution, they grew more. You know, we do better under pressure. God created us to do great things, that even in the midst of pressure, we can still do great things. It's not the time for human beings, especially in the Lord's church, to go somewhere and hide. If anything, we come out and we continue to do the will of God. Here, they went everywhere preaching the word, and the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles in which he performed. Go to Hebrews 10. This would be the last point under that point. In Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, you know what we ought to be remembering? We ought to be remembering to provoke. That word provoke there means to stir up. Literally, it means to irritate. You know, you can irritate someone in a good way. Usually when we think about our kids, there's such an irritation. You know, you probably shouldn't think about your kids as an irritation. But I can say that now, all my kids are gone. But they were. But that's not what the Hebrews writer is saying. He used the word provoke, and literally means to irritate, but to irritate unto the positive, or unto the positive. Irritate one another, notice, unto love and good works. The very thing that we need to be remembering as the people of God. Now, in your mind, what's a good work? You should be thinking about preaching the gospel. You should be thinking about living the gospel. You should be thinking about fellowship. You should be thinking about helping those who are in need in and out of the church. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. So when we stop and we consider this and we think about the environment that we are promoting here, all because of the word of God, and we're taking God's word and we're just exercising it. We're just applying it. We're just obeying it. And it is definitely providing the fruit that God wants it to provide. But look at point two. It's an environment that promotes prayer. Turn to Psalm 23. I wanted to take my time and look at this. And the reason why is because I think about how prayer sometimes is neglected. The old preachers used to say, one of the most neglected privileges that a child of God has is prayer. Communication with our God. The environment that God desires for his people to have is an environment that they come together and they communicate with the Father. They take his word, they take one another's fellowship, and they communicate that to the Father. Put in your notes, if you're taking notes, Acts chapter 4, verses 12 and following. You think about God's people going through immense persecution, and the first thing they do when they realize that Peter and James have been cast into prison, they go to God in prayer. Acts 16, you find the same situation. You have Paul and Silas, they've been locked up after they have gotten beaten. And guess what they do? They're praying and singing. We neglect it. I truly believe that God's people need to do more praying together. It's all good to come together and sing, but we need to pray more. I think Sister Braswell, Mama Braswell said that one time. We need to pray more. Opportunities to come and lift up our voices and hearts unto the Father. Why? Because at times we go through difficulties and we don't want those difficulties to keep us from remembering first things first and making first things first and seeking first things first and doing first things first. We need that. Psalm 23. Read with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Brother Mike, what does this have to do with promoting prayer? Because when we understand that we're the sheep and he's the shepherd, he's the one that's taking care of us. He's the one that made us. He's the one that gave us promises. He's the one that gave us provisions. He's the one that does the protection. Then we're not relying upon ourselves. You can tell when you begin to rely upon yourself. I can, because my prayer life dwindles. There's one thing for us to be reading God's word, but you got to balance it out with prayer. There's one thing to have a good prayer life, but if you're not reading God's word, that means that you're telling God everything and you won't allow him to tell you anything. God speaks through his word. We speak to God through prayer. And so when I think about the shepherd, the sheep rather, he understood the shepherd. He understood that Jehovah was his shepherd, and he knew that he would not have anything that he didn't need. And so how does God provide for us? If you look at the notes, for trusting God in comfort, or to comfort and to protect us through his promises, through his provisions, through his protections. This is the environment that we need to continue to cultivate. That people should be able to come to the people of God and seek refuge, as we demonstrated on last week in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, and say, can y'all pray for me? They ought to be looking for men and women of God that's going to pray with them and for them. And at times when non-Christians want to pray, they say, hey, Brother Mike, can you pray for me? I can pray with you. So they weren't ready for that one. You mean we're going to pray right here? Yeah, right here. Let's pray. Because I don't want you to come to me later on and I got the hustles and bustles of life. And you say, Brother Mike, did you pray for me? I want to be able to tell you the truth. But if I pray with you then you don't have to ask me, because you already know we pray together. Amen. For there's different ways for us to cultivate an environment, but we need to be promoting prayer. If you look at letter B, for tranquility, to live peaceably with all men. Why do we pray? Why do we pray to the Father on behalf of all men, on behalf of government, on behalf of those who are in control, if you will? Because we want to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And therefore, we want to be a thankful people. If you notice those T's, for trusting God, for tranquility to live peaceful lives, for thanksgiving to serve God, even under governmental oppression. I hope I don't lose you with this. But I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that we can live at least another 4 years right now without governmental oppression, because it was looking that way. Now, y'all do whatever you want to with that, but that's the truth of the matter. That's the truth. Because now, if you stop and think about it, God's people ought to be more on fire to do God's will, to teach the gospel, to live it out. Why? Because God is the one that has always been in control, Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. But we have the obligation and the responsibility to continue to carry the gospel out without oppression, at least for right now. Brethren, we ought to be thankful for that. And God's people ought to be going to him in prayer because of that. And because of that, look at Colossians 2. And look what Paul prayed for. Friends, what I just said was not out of bounds whatsoever. The Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, has something to say about that. As it relates, really, verse 6. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it. That's interesting. God's people are to be fervent, be vigilant in what? In prayer. There's nothing wrong if the elders would say, you know, we're just going to have a Wednesday night that we're just going to pray. That's all. We're just going to pray. Why? Because you can't pray too much. You just cannot go to God the Father too much in prayer. Look what he says. With thanksgiving, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would do what? Open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Talk about non-Christians. Redeeming the time, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, in order that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Notice what Paul's prayer was. He wanted the doors to be open. That's the environment that we have. But this environment requires us as the people of God to see sin for what it is and to stay away from it, to do our part. That which is an affront to God, that which God doesn't like, that which God hates, we're saying we don't want no part of that, and we want to be thankful. Point three. Look at point three. An environment of promoting parting. Parting ways. One of the hardest things to do is to part ways with people. One of the hardest things to do is to part ways with things that we've grown accustomed towards. One of the hardest things to do is to part ways with that which we like and we know is not doing us any good. Remember 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 19, and consider the context. When we stop and we consider 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 19, notice what it says there. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Time out. Because I got to ask myself this question every day. I know I'm his. But sometimes Mike Bonner don't act like he know who he belonged to. That's why you got to watch the people you have in your life. You got to watch what's coming into your eyes. Watch what's going into your ears. You got to watch what's going into your heart. Why do you say that? The Lord knows those who are his. Look at the rest of the text. And everyone that has named the name of Christ does something. They depart, Brother Brian, from iniquity. How do I know I belong to God? How do I know that I belong to the one in whom God sent? How do I know that I belong to the one in whom God sent to reveal the word? How do I know I belong to the word of God? I'm taking his word, which came forth from the Spirit, which came forth from Jesus, which came forth from the Father, and I'm adding it to my life, I'm applying it to my life, and I'm doing it. And that's the environment we need to cultivate. That's the environment that is serious about the word and the will of God. That's the environment that is serious about marriage, and serious about government, and serious about being single, and serious about holiness, and serious about righteousness, and serious about fellowship, and serious about worship. Amen. Am I willing to give up what God doesn't want in order to remain in fellowship with him? That's the question. Because the text literally says, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In other words, let everyone who submits their will to the will of Christ, let them show it. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus said that. And I stopped and I thought about that, and I thought about this environment actually promotes parting. What do you mean by that, Brother Mike? When we're coming together, and it's amazing after worship service that you'll find people again and we're just hanging out talking. Or we're having fellowship with one another, maybe on a Monday or Tuesday or another day of the week. And we're just talking about God's word or talking about life, talking about vehicles. Brother Daniel and I, we work on cars together. I love that guy. Let me tell you one thing I love about Daniel. He's so particular. He want to make sure that it's right. No, Brother Mike, I think we need to look at that again. No, Brother Mike, turn that over again. We want to make sure it's right. Hold on. What's wrong with that? Nothing. Why? Because when that thing crank up, that's what you want. Ain't that right, Daniel? You don't want that thing. And now we got to go back to work. And Daniel know how I get. It takes everything to stay calm. But I'm like, Daniel, I'm ready to walk away. I'm ready to walk away, Daniel. All right, just going over there. Okay. But that's after about 4 or 5 hours. But you know what else we talk about? Life. And the word of God and how we can get better. It's just like sitting in a deer blind with someone. Well, sitting there and you're just talking about God's word at the table, drinking some coffee with each other. And you're encouraging one another and challenging one another to do what? You need to leave sin alone. Why? Because we want to keep this environment that we're cultivating, that God is cultivating. We want to keep it pure. If not, why not? If I have a brother or a sister who knows I'm living in sin and won't say nothing, that's not my brother or sister. I need someone that's going to call me to the table. Call me to the carpet. This environment is an environment of promoting parting. Look at the text. I'm sorry, look at the notes. Departing from ungodly behaviors promotes God's environment. I should not be living in sin as a child of God and then have the nerve to say, I know. But God is merciful. No, he's not. Why? Because if you won't depart from sin, he can't save you. And if he can't save you, that means he's not pleased. And if he's not pleased, then we got problems. We ought to be doing all that we can to help one another to continue to develop and cultivate this environment that we have. And so we take seriously our Christian identity. We depart from iniquity. And remember we brought up Achan earlier? And God had the children of Israel, as I close, to go into Jericho, going into Ai, or I, however which way you want to say it. And they go in there, and it was just a small nation. go to Joshua, don't need that many men. They go in there and they are decimated. Got the children of Israel on the run. Joshua rents his clothes, falls down to the ground, goes to God and says, "Oh Lord." God tells him, "You got sin in the camp. We can't move forward until you get it out." Isn't it interesting that when we have sin in our hearts and in our lives, it's hard to move forward? Your conscience won't let you unless you sear it. Brethren, can I beg you? Can I beg you to leave sin alone? Can I beg you to leave that alone which God sent his son to die for? Can I beg you to leave that alone? Because if you don't, this is an environment that I see that some people, they come, but they don't stay because, oh, y'all take this too serious. But heaven is serious. And the reality of life is this. If I don't depart from sin, Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. He said that. There's no interpretation there. That's a direct statement. He said that. Well, maybe Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. He did. He never sinned. Neither was that God found in his mouth. He never said a lie. He said, if you die in your sins. So it is serious. So what does that mean? It means that I can't be like Achan and hide sin underneath my tent because it just doesn't affect me. It affects everybody. And so as the people of God and the environment that we've cultivated, we ought to be grateful that we have a church family that really loves God and strive to do that which is right and don't mind checking one another. If not, why not? But why? Because heaven is serious and we're trying to get there. And we want to make sure that we do it right. And so therefore, we leave sin alone and we walk in the light. And therefore, we leave sin alone and we understand that it requires transparency and honesty and righteousness and holiness. It requires all those things. This is the cult environment that we've cultivated. I guarantee you that if you do your part in helping the environment, that which influences for the better, you'll want to ask people to come be part of it. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll offer the invitation. Holy God and Father, hallowed be your name. We're thankful for the day. We're thankful for the time together. Thankful for your word that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We're thankful that we have the opportunity to just spend time in your word, to be encouraged, to be admonished, to be strengthened, to be edified, to be able to see us for who we really are. We know, Father, that at times in our lives we have ailments that are of a spiritual nature, and that we need to get those things right and get those things together. Pray to Father that as we work together, that we help one another, that when one falls, we can be there to pick them up. Father, as we are striving to be one here at 9th and Main, we pray that we can go out as one man, encouraging those who are outside of Christ to consider the one that died for them. Be with the leadership here. Be with all of the members. Pray to Father that we will simply be holy, seek first things first, be a people who have great priority, understand prayer, and are willing to part from sin. We ask these things in the name of Christ. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider sitting down, studying with us. Or maybe you've been studying with someone already, and you understand what it takes to become a child of God. You understand that the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ is vitally important in order for you to be a child of God. Perhaps someone's been studying with you and they have taught you the gospel plan of salvation, which is inclusive of the blood of Christ, the church of Christ, the kingdom of God, the authority of Christ. You've got to ask yourself, are you willing to repent? Are you willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Be willing to be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, coming in contact with the blood of Christ, having your conscience cleansed from dead works. Now you can come before God in service. Maybe you're a child of God and, well, you just haven't been faithful, trustworthy, righteous, holy. It happens, but you're here this morning. We're thankful for that. And the reason why we're thankful for that is because you're able to hear God's word and able to make a decision whether or not you want to move forward with him or not. Whatever we can do, let us help you as we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.